B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, 3 o'clock hour, brought to us by Corporate Lease Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie, and Hoagie Party Tray is every bit as good. At 3:10, we'll be joined by Larry Boa, live from Florida. They have a day off today. And, of course, yesterday the news was that Bryce sought out Larry and sought out Charlie Manuel, talked some old-time baseball with those guys. So we'll get Larry Boa's impression of Bryce Harper, and maybe we can get a little scouting report on how Bryce looked in the cage today. Maybe Boa throwing some BP to him.
Oh, also, you got called out for a violation, Mike.
What?
That's a violation.
Had you had the My Teams app?
Yeah.
NBC Sports? Oh, yeah.
The batting practice was on the My Teams app.
That was underpublicized. I should have had that.
Got to download the app, everybody.
Well, the BP was on there.
I got my Teams app.
And he was launching them on the app.
It was?
Yep.
Oh, damn.
Yes, indeed.
I missed it.
It won't be the only one. There'll be other on the app, so make sure you use that My Teams app.
We are also on the app.
And selfishly, also, Sixers Outsiders on the app. No excuse not to download the My Teams app.
All right, there you go. So we could have seen this BP session. Damn.
Yes. It was on the app.
All right, Boa will join us at 3:10. And we'll also have Corey Simon on sometime today, right?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Yeah, he's got a couple of scoops. He's been working on some things.
Oh, he's got some scoops.
He's been working on some things of just what he'll mean to this lineup. Mm-hmm. Some more things, you know, we've heard about it. We're not going to underplay that.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, let's get back to the phone. Let's go to Chris in Upper Darby. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Chris?
Oh, you can never call a Phillies fan a farewell fan. The most loyal fan base in all of sports. So I don't get that, what Jason was talking about earlier.
I don't get it either. Why were they staying away? Well, they were staying away because the product wasn't good.
Yeah, I'm not going to show up to a product that's not good.
Exactly.
That's such an overblown
thing to say, well, but these certain teams follow their teams whenever. I mean, that makes you a bad fan. It makes you a lemming, is what it makes you.
Right. The reason why I called was, there was a report over the weekend about Joshua Harris. And his comment was, early exit in the playoffs would be problematic.
Yes. Yes, he did say that. Now, what does an early exit mean? Probably means second round.
Yeah, I think second round. But if they have to go past the second round for him to keep his job, my question to you is, I think it's a foregone conclusion he's gone next year because I don't see them going past the second round.
I actually do. I think that they'll play Toronto in the second round.
Yeah, I don't know, man. If the playoffs started today, they would play Boston.
They're not going to play Boston. They're going to get the third spot. Indiana's going to drop naturally into that fourth slot. So they're not going to play Boston. They're going to miss Boston completely. Second round, they play Toronto. They got to get past Toronto. I believe they're good enough to beat Toronto in a 7-game series.
Okay. So my question next is, if they don't, what would you think about going back and saying to Jeff Van Gundy? You think he would be a good candidate?
Who? I mean, I don't know. He's been out of it for so long. I'm sure that there are other coaches that can do some better things than Jeff Van Gundy. I mean, hiring a name is just hiring a name. You know, I mean, he's been removed from the game for a really long time, has he not?
Yeah, I just think
kind of too long, maybe.
Maybe too long. Man. Okay, that's all I got, Mike.
All right, man, you got it. Yeah, they don't have to hire a name. They can get somebody like, you know, if they had Budenholzer, it was a good find for many years as an assistant. Yeah. You know, for assistants that are making a name for themselves.
The Nets coach was another Spurs assistant. He got them rolling into the playoffs unexpectedly.
Yeah, I mean, you look at successful organizations, successful coaches. I mean, they don't have to go get a guy in a broadcasting booth. I know a lot of people want Mark Jackson, too, because of that reason. The only reason we want those guys is because they're visible. You know? They're out there, they're visible. So we go, all right, well, yeah, but that guy.
A lot of them don't have jobs for a reason.
Yeah, like that guy, Nurse. With Toronto, who would have known?
Right, he's under. He's an assistant. He comes in.
The guy from Denver.
Yeah, he was bopping around as an assistant for a while, right, too. Yeah.
Tim in Bethlehem. Tim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
Hey, Mike, first time caller.
What's up, Tim?
it's good for me to talk to the A-team there. Hey, Mike, they're probably just waiting for you to get down there to get that live TV with Harper on Thursday. So I'm looking forward to that when you get
Well,
down
it
there.
Was on the app. I missed it. My bad.
Yeah, well, they're just waiting for you to get there. They'll get more coverage with you guys there.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Yeah. No, Mike, I was just thinking of the song Glory Days with Springsteen, with the good feel in Philadelphia right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really exciting times, and you're right, Mike. I mean, people want a good product, and you know they're not going to put the money out unless you have a good product. So it makes sense.
Yeah, it's not a fair weather fan. It means you're a good fan. The weapon you have is to let them know you're dissatisfied. You can do that in a number of ways, and the easiest way to do it is not show up.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. You're right. But, boy, they're going to be showing up now, that's for sure.
Oh, they're going to be showing up 40-plus thousand strong. They're going to get 3 million fans in there this year.
You know what was kind of neat, Mike? Even KD the other night when they were interviewing after the game, he said, boy, was there a lot of electricity in this place. You know?
And yeah.
Yeah.
There's electricity in Sixers games, no question.
It's awesome. And Tyrone do a great job with that show, so thanks. But, hey, good luck to you down in Florida. Get some golfing down there, Mike.
No, I won't be golfing. That's all work down there, bro.
No time for golf.
I got to, you know, we were in the air during prime golf time.
I know. Well, listen.
Unless I can get out 7 o'clock in the morning.
Hit some balls anyway.
All right.
Have a good trip.
Yeah, I don't know when I want to lug my clubs down there for the possibility of playing golf. I got to ask Boa. If Boa's off Friday.
Get up early?
Yeah. Squeeze around it.
What about Saturday morning before we come back?
I want Bo to hit me fungos. Like this is my bucket list thing. I want to field some Larry Bo fungos.
Really?
Yes.
We'll have morning
on the infield. I'm going to ask him when he comes on in a couple minutes. Chuck in North Carolina, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Chuck.
I am still confused from Friday, Mike.
Ooh. You got a gremlin in your line, Chuck. We'll try to clear you up. Derek Allentown, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Derek.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
What's going on, Derek?
Oh, not much, bud. I'm still over the moon with this Harper news. I just can't wait. We went from musical chairs in the dugout lineup last year to something that looks like we're going to, you know, really rake them in this year. I can't wait.
Set lineup. Got to be a set lineup. Leave guys where they are.
Yeah,
the Charlie
exactly.
Manuel method. Get them in there. Let them hit.
Oh, yeah. So I was getting my kids some new merch for the new baseball season coming up. The kids are, you know, about 3 and about 5 months. And it brought me back to a story so you're talking about fans a lot today. And I think it was a year or so ago when, the Eagles were doing their big playoff run and all that. I wanted to go get my boy a Wentz jersey. So I was like, hey, you know, he doesn't really follow the sport. I got him a jersey. But there was a dude in the store, I think it was like a Modell's, where I was picking up the jersey, and he was just like questioning people in line, like, why are you quizzing us? Like, if you're a super fan, like, set it for yourself, like, I don't care. Like, the thing is, like, if you want to be a fan, like, I'm on board. Like, you want to join our squad? Fine, that's great by me. You know, you're going to enjoy it. Same with me. Fly my colors, fly our colors, great. Like, don't look down these people that are like changing party lines because, like, oh, their team all of a sudden.
No, our deck should be always open. Come on the boat.
Yeah.
Come on.
Seriously. So it's like, you know, you want to be a big bad fan. It's like, all right, cool. You do you. I'm going to enjoy my boys over here.
Exactly.
So I just wanted to add my 2 cents.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right about that. I never deny people who want to come on. That's the brotherly way to do it. All right, let's talk to the man who's down at spring training. Bryce Harper, talking to him yesterday, talking to some baseball with the veteran guys who have played the game for a lot of years and been around the game a lot of years. Our next guest is the great Larry Boa, live from spring training. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Larry!
What's up, Mike?
How you doing?
Doing all right.
All right, day off today, so what went on?
Well, I did take the day off. I needed a day off, but I know Harp went in and hit.
Uh-huh.
He was going in early. And I knew that he was going to go in and hit. I think a lot of the guys took the day off. We've been rolling at it pretty good here. There were some coaches there probably getting familiar with Harp. But for the most part, everybody's been working hard down here. And obviously, Matt's put together a pretty good roster.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Not even counting with the Harp signing. the other guys have been very impressive to me. Segura, JT Realmuto, McCutcheon, Robertson. Those are good pickups. So you add Harper to the mix, and we got a real good lineup here. And I think there's some good things going to happen this year.
All right, I don't know how close you guys were to all the news. I assume you were, like, right in there. But this happens during a game that it's announced that he had signed. Where were you when you heard the news, and what was the reaction of everybody down there in the coaching staff?
Well, we had a split squad that day, so I stayed back with Cap and the rest of the guys. And these people behind us, the fans were telling us, hey, we signed Harper. You know, I didn't say, yeah, right. They go, no, we really did. You know, prior to that, we thought he was going to San Francisco. That day before, it sounded like that was almost a done deal. So we got the news. It was pretty tight-lipped around our clubhouse and everything. And we really didn't get the news. The fans behind us watching the game got it over the radio. I don't know what station they were listening to. I think the MLB station, and that's how we got it.
All right. So, what was your reaction once? What's the manager's reaction? What's going on?
Well, I know Cap was really excited. You know, he, of course, you know, as a manager, he said, "Well, we got to see if this is a rumor or whatever." And I said the same thing. I said, I told him. The one guy said, "He said, when will he be here?" And I was just going along with it. I said, "Probably in an hour." You know, I was just.
Uh-huh.
And then in my own mind, I'm saying there's no way this thing came together that quick. And then obviously the news started floating around and we did get him. So everybody was excited. There's no question about that. We didn't even know the length of the contract or the amount of money or anything like that at that particular point.
All right, so he shows up on the field, and reports are one of the guys, he goes up to you, he talks to you, Charlie Manuel, and he respects the older players. Guy's been in the game for a really long time. Had you known him before?
No, I'm just playing, coaching against him. I remember an article that when he graduated or he was that high school phenom, he made a statement he liked to play for guys like Larry Bowe or Lou Piniella. He liked those type of managers. And I just happened to, when I was talking to him the other day, he said, when I brought your name up about wanting to play, for those type of managers, I said, I know, that was a compliment. I said, I appreciate it. And then we started talking. And he does respect the game. He knows the history of the game. He knows everybody that's played in the game. So I think that's one good thing moving forward. This kid's not just a kid that's has no idea what happened previously in the big leagues. He knows a lot about the history of the game of baseball. And for him to not have an opt-out clause or to sign for that period of time, I mean, you got to take your hat off to him because, he has no idea what the future holds here. The Phillies don't have any idea, but for him to sign that kind of contract with no opt-out clause, I think it tells you a little bit about he wants to stay in one place.
What did his first batting practice session look like, Dio? Was it Charlie Hayes was throwing?
It looked really good. He didn't hit any. The first two or three rounds, he didn't hit any balls out. He's in a lot of line drives. To left center. Nice swing, quick bat. Then at the end, he sort of loosened up a little bit and hit a few balls a long way. But he had a purpose up there. He didn't want to. He could have probably put on a show right from the first pitch. But the wind was blowing out a little bit. He was hitting balls the other way. He's got a nice swing, Mike. He's going to really lengthen our lineup, man. I tell you, this is from top to bottom, this is going to be a pretty potent lineup to go through if you're the opposing pitcher.
So he was on it right away. He didn't he wasn't fouling balls to the top of the screen and hitting off the end.
He's been hitting, believe me. He's been hitting a lot. I think what he wants to do now, most of his hitting was indoors in cages down there, so he got a chance to go outside yesterday. Today, I'm sure he hit outside. And he just basically wants to get to know his teammates, get to know the surrounding a little bit. I'm sure starting tomorrow, he'll probably go down and face some live pitching. Our pitchers throw the sides down there, so he'll jump in there and look at that. So I guess Saturday is the day that he's supposed to. I think he's going to DH that day, so. He's going to be ready as far as swinging the bat and everything. This guy's in good shape. He wants to win. The conversation I had out with him in right center, he says, if I go for four and strike out four times and the guy behind me gets three hits and drives in three runs and we win, That's all I care about. So,
he's saying the right things.
He really is.
To bond with the Philadelphia fan base, he's really saying the right things.
Yeah, he had a good press conference, and I gave him a little insight about the fans. I said, hey, you know, you're going to be in the spotlight. That's just the way it is. And it's not just Philly. You know, when you get the athlete that makes the most money in a sport, they're under the gun every night. And I think he realized that. But I think the one thing with him, he's been like that ever since he's 17 years old. So I don't think it's going to really have an impact on him to the point where he's going to go, oh, my God, what am I getting into? I think he knows exactly what he's getting into, and he knows there's going to be days where he doesn't do what he'd like to do. And I'm sure that there'll be a smattering of boos. But I told him, I said, if you do what you're supposed to do, man, you can do whatever you want in Philadelphia. They'll love you here.
Citizens Bank Park obviously is going to be a great hitter's park for him. What do you think he can do here, home run wise? Because you know I'm talking 45.
I would say 40 to 45 in our park. I think he's going to hit 40 to 45. You know, barring any injuries, he hits balls in left center that are going to fly out of our park. I'm telling you, this guy could hit the ball fields, go straight away center field. You hope he doesn't get into that pull mode in our park, because it's very friendly when you compare it to where he played 81 of his games last year. He just has a strong, he's got strong hands, he's got a quick bat. He just, it's a perfect park for his swing. And like I said, barring any injuries, he should hit 40 to 45.
Yeah, his slugging percentage, by the way, is number one of like 81 players who have had 200 at-bats at Citizens Bank Park. So
he likes hitting there, I know that. He said that. He said, I really like hitting there.
All right, let's look at this lineup. I want to get in your head a little bit on where you would hit him. To me, he's the three guy, and then you piecemeal it from there. But I'm curious to know where you think he figures best in the lineup.
I have no idea what he's going to do. Somebody asked me that the other day. I said I'd hit him three. As the sabermetrics go, the number two hitter is supposed to be your man. Obviously, I think in our lineup, three would be perfect. And you could go a bunch of ways. You could go Segura and Hernandez. You could go Hernandez, Segura. You could go McCutchen, Segura, and Hernandez ninth and have the pitcher hit eight. So you got 9-1-2 where you got speed at the bottom. Again, this is just my opinion. You know, Cesar doesn't really steal a lot of bases. So if you hit him ninth, you got him on base there for the guys at the top of the order. There's a lot of combinations you can go with. I would hit Harp three. I mean, I think that would be perfect.
So you'd be okay with McCutchen, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, and then Hernandez in eighth or ninth.
That would be good with me. And I wouldn't eliminate, again, this is just me talking. JT Realmuto is a good hitter. This is my, I wouldn't mind hitting Realmuto for Hoskins 5. You know, Reese last year had a lot of, he's either red hot or he was ice cold. So, but those are just things you can do. He's got a lot of options here. I'm telling you, you got a guy like Franco hitting down the bottom or Herrera. You got a strong lineup. You can hit Reese 4th. You could hit Harper 2nd if you wanted. You could hit Realmuto 3rd and Hoskins 4. It's a lineup where you can really move it around a little bit. And I think guys like McCutchen, who's hit all over the place, Segura's hit all over the place, I don't think they really mind where they hit in the lineup.
Yeah, we'll see how Gabe handles that. Charlie Manuel would set a lineup and go out and rake. He put guys in the same spot. You know how he would handle this whole thing.
He says it'll be fun to watch this offense. He says, I think they're going to score a lot of runs, which I do too.
Yeah, I was just going to get into that. We're talking to Larry Brewer. Larry, in 08, this was, primarily they were the offensive team that won, and the starting pitching was okay. Hamels had a great year. Moyer had a nice year. But it was pretty much you outscored teams, and you rallied no matter if you were behind or not. They had rallies to win games, and then the bullpen locked it down. Do you see similarities with these two teams?
Yeah, I do. I see a lot of similarities. I think we might have better arms. Now, when I say better arms in that rotation, obviously, potential comes into play, and you know, you don't win games on potential. Pavetta to me is getting better. I saw Arrieta throw now 3 times and he threw yesterday. I saw him throw 3 times in simulated games. I think he's going to have a monster year. I think last year he tried to play catch up. He came in late. And, you know, anytime you play catch up in your pitcher, things don't work out. But he looks like he is the Arrieta of old. He's got nasty sinker going. He's got good velocity going. He might be on a mission here because, obviously, he wasn't too happy with his year last year. Nola's been lights out on his sides and everything. But you got Pavetta and Velasquez and Eflin. I mean, you got five guys. Eichhoff looks like he's going to be okay, but obviously there's going to be a question mark there. So we'll see how that plays out. We have some good pitchers in AAA. Our bullpen's a good. That's going to be a strength for us. Like I said, I don't see a lot of weaknesses. The only thing is injuries to the starting rotation. If you look back last year, nobody got hurt. They shut Velasquez down at the end because of innings. But nobody really went on the DL and said, oh, you know, my arm's bothering me, my elbow's bothering me. If I can stay away from injuries, I think this is going to be a fun summer.
Yeah, Arrieta did look good. I watched that game yesterday. He was pretty filthy. Yeah, yep. He was. I know you didn't go on that 2.5 hour trip, did you?
No, come on, Mike. I made enough of those trips.
I
had to stay back. I had to stay back with the guys that didn't go and make sure they got their work in.
Yeah, I figured you weren't on that trip. All right, so here's the deal. We're coming down Wednesday night, and Thursday and Friday we'll be broadcasting down there. Okay. I don't know what you're doing Friday because they have an away game. I don't know if you're going on that. Are you hanging around?
Usually, I've been allergic to those buses.
Yeah, all right. So that's good. Years. So, like, here's one of my bucket list things. I want to hit field some Larry Bowa fungos. You think we can pull that off on the little infield you guys have over there?
Yeah, we should because last year it was either last year or year before Salisbury took some ground balls.
All right. Well,
and, like, believe it or not. He held his own, Mike.
Really? I will dust his ass, well, by the way, if you hit me, fungos.
If we can set it up, I'll be there to hit you some ground balls. And we'll just say, I know you played a little bit.
Yeah, I'm bringing the mitt and the spikes, and I'll be ready to roll.
Okay, there's not going to be no... easy two hoppers.
I know you're gonna hit balls in my right. You want to see my backhand? I know. I got it.
I want to see some range. I want to see a little range. I want to see the arm action. I want to see velocity on the throws.
As long as I get to loosen up with you, I'm good on the throws.
We're good. All right.
Sounds good. It's either that or we're playing golf. One or the other.
I think you ought to get on the baseball field. You can play golf anytime.
All right. Sounds good. Larry, we'll see you next week. Thanks for coming on.
You got it, Mike.
All right. There he is, Larry Bowa. Well, there it is. It's all set up.
That's exciting.
Fungalicious.
Well, you got back.
I can't
up.
Wait.
Back up the talk.
Fungalicious.
Back up this talk, man.
Dude, I may wear a blindfold.
Oh, wow.
And scoop ground balls.
I'd love to see that.
Just to play a little trickster.
That would be great. Let's do it.
All right. Looking forward to that.
All right. 610-632-0975. We got two open lines. This is how you get in. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, debut of our 4 hours on television. Let's get to the Twitter poll update. 3:30. It's 3:30 already. Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Miss Natalie.
Over 2,500 votes so far. Did you buy a Bryce Harper jersey? 15% say yes, 33% said no, 52% said not yet.
All right, and listen, he said the right things about the number two. You can't trot on Roy Halladay, and you can't trot on Mikel Franco. Can we hear that a little bit from Bryce? Yeah, Bryce is explaining his selection of the number three.
Yeah, of course I wore 34, but I thought Roy Halladay should be the last one to wear it. You know, he's somebody in this game that, you know, is greater than a lot of guys that have ever played it. A Hall of Famer, somebody that played the game the right way, was a great person, was one of the nicest people I've ever met, being able to play across from him in 2012. So, you know, for me, it's Roy Halladay. You know, he's 34. He's what represents that number in Philly. And, you know, when you go in there, you see his name on that flagpole in center field. And, you know, it's something that he should be remembered for.
All right. And, of course, he talked about seven, Franco having seven. And the 3-4 obviously adds up to seven. That's why he wore 34, because Mickey Mantle. I don't know how Mickey Mantle's his hero. If he's a kid, he never saw Mickey Mantle play. Like, you know, I don't know what that's about.
His dad probably told him about it. But actually, you know what? No, his dad, there's no way his dad saw Mickey Mantle
either.
No,
his dad didn't see Mick either.
Maybe he read about him.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah. He's a historian of the game, so he went with Mick. Let me ask you this question. If you're Franco, do you win points with your team by giving up the seven?
If I'm Franco or if he's Franco?
If you're Franco, is it almost, I'm going to say duty, but would it have been a nice gesture to give up the seven to Harper?
He never wore seven. So, nah.
No?
No, yeah. he wore 34.
But we all know that seven is what he wanted to wear whole time.
Yeah, what I would say is if he wants seven, he'll come to me. And we'll work out a transaction.
Yeah, but you can't do that because then you look like a selfish lout that you're trying to buy the dude's number.
Well, I think it speaks.
It happens a lot, though. It does, but you
have to volunteer. In this situation, Franco would have to volunteer to give him the seven.
I feel like it speaks to Harper's team mentality that he didn't even try and get seven. He's just a teammate.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to take three.
But that's separate to what Mike asked, though, about Franco.
Yeah, what's Franco's responsibility on this?
Franco, if he wore seven before, you have to give it up because he's a better player.
Like Franco, let's be clear. Franco has not exactly been an all-star wearing seven. Not like he has clout with seven.
No.
Right? He could very easily switch a number
and still be
the same guy.
Right.
Right? This guy obviously is a star caliber player they paid a lot to. Would Franco have come off looking really good had he given up the seven to Harper?
Probably, but not enough for them to. Maybe with the teammates, the manager still doesn't like him. So I don't know if that would matter. I don't think he fits their analytical thing. That wouldn't change.
All right.
They're giving Scotty Jetpacks a chance to take his job.
Jetpacks! No, he's not going to take his job.
I know, but that's a ruse.
It's a ruse. Because then they can't use jetpacks all over the place, and that's what they want to do with them. 1980. If people that weren't alive then, because the year 2020 is going to be 1980. Flyers lost the Stanley Cup Finals to the Islanders on that horrendous missed offside call by Leon Stickle.
Now look at you with the refs. You of all people with the refs.
Well, that was a horrendous call. I mean he was two strides in Bobby Nystrom.
Yeah.
On that play. Right?
I've seen the video on the play.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. In 1980, the Sixers lost in six to the Lakers, and that was when Magic went center at the Spectrum, right?
Yeah.
But Cap was back in L.A. because he was injured.
Yeah, he got the,
And Magic played center, and that's how they lost that series in the finals. The Eagles lost the Super Bowl to the Raiders, and the Phillies beat the Royals for the championship. So there you go, 2020, another championship. Maybe three other contenders. The Flyers can get it together that quickly, but I'm saying two other contenders.
I'm thinking two titles.
Two titles that year.
2020.
Possibly.
Sixers, Phillies. Yep.
I could go with that. Now, in the 1980 series, because your dad, Tyrone's dad, is an all-time Mike Schmidt hater.
Yeah, he told me.
Like a lot of people.
Yeah, all-time.
He said he never hit a big home run.
Out of 500, 499 were solo. He told me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
On number 500.
So, Mike Schmidt happened to be the World Series MVP. A lot of people forget 1980. So he was clutch.
What?
And the Phillies trivia question, who leads the Phillies franchise in walk-off home runs? Never hit a big home run. My man, 20, hit 10 walk-off home runs as a Philly to lead the franchise in walk-off home runs. Never hit a big home run. 10 walk-offs.
So that means that Jimmy Rollins and Smith are the two people who have been unfairly treated by the fan base. So baseball seems to be where all unfairness lies. Because Smith was booed unmercifully after being a World Series. See, I don't know this
Schmidt,
as a kid.
But here's the difference.
World Series MVP.
Schmidt was booed because he didn't hit a home run every time up. And home run hitters get that. When they only hit a home run every time up, they get that kind of treatment.
Yeah, I get you.
Rollins put it on himself by not hustling in a couple situations. He's not wrong when he says that Philadelphia Fairweather fans. When it came to him, they were. But it wasn't like he was totally innocent either.
No.
Schmidt was totally innocent. Except for people used to say, he never dives for a ball. That was another criticism.
But he was a great third baseman.
He was a gold glove third baseman.
That's what I'm saying. He was a great third baseman.
But he never did dive for a ball.
He didn't dive.
No, he won a diver.
Huh.
See, if you're a diver.
We love you here.
Exactly.
Utley.
Because the diver gets the uniform dirty.
Although we did hate one diver.
Who was that?
Scott Rowland died.
Oh, he's a dope.
We hated him.
Well, we didn't hate him at first. We hated him because he wanted to go to baseball heaven.
And he
That's why.
I hated his mouth. And he sat out Scott Rowland day.
Let me tell you about Scott Rowland. Okay, Scott Rowland was the sweetest guy that I had ever, like, nicest, sweetest guy ever when he first came to the big leagues who turned into the devil. And the transformation was unbelievable. He was so nothing, a Midwestern nice dude from Indiana, right?
Yeah.
By the end of his career, he was just miserable.
And he was a jerk out in St. Louis. He wasn't a nice guy there
either.
He
learned to be a jerk in the big leagues. Chuck in North Carolina, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chuck.
Mike Smith.
What's up, Chuck?
Sorry about my phone mishap earlier.
That's all right, buddy. We got you now.
Thanks for staying with me. I thought about it all weekend. It's been hard. I am conflicted because I'm not asking to be a Philly fan. I'm just asking to celebrate with Philly because I love Philly sports. And I know everybody knows I'm a Braves fan, but I'm just happy for Philly that this happened. But no, I can't give my allegiance to the Philly fan because I would be called a fake fan. I can't do that. I've been a Braves fan.
I understand that. You're in North Carolina. Yeah. I understand it. I told you, you have dispensation because you're a geographical fan. That's all I admire, the geographical fan.
But, I mean, I'm a 3-for-4 guy. I never had a hockey team. I've never had a basketball team. And I've learned to love them through y'all. Y'all are my family.
Chuck, you're okay, man. You're okay. You've been totally accepted by me, right? I don't know about other shows. They're giving you a hard time. I know the Cubs giving you a hard time. You got to select one or the other. Yeah, no, I know where you're coming from because geographically, you grew up with the Braves.
But, I mean, I pretty much eat, drink, and sleep Philly sports now. There's not a person here in North Carolina that doesn't say Chuck's always got his earbud in. And he's
well, that's good. I admire that part about it.
So I become a fan that way, you know, and I love that he.
Now, I would tell you that if I covered sports in North Carolina, which I, you know, I would say that you're a fraud for not liking the Carolina Hurricane.
Why? I've never been to NHL.
You're in North Carolina, for crying out loud. You got to be a fan of the Hurricanes.
I mean, I've just never been a huge hockey fan, but listening to y'all and listening to y'all's passion has made me passionate just about Philly sports in general.
I get it, but you can't be a Flyer fan over a Hurricanes fan. Like, if I'm doing sports talk radio in North Carolina, you're the type of guy I'd rip for that. Now, here, I don't care. You can, you know, it's a la carte for you. Whatever. 610-632-0975. Back with your calls after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, some great things are happening here at 97.5 The Fanatic. We're actually getting a rebuild of sorts. But let me ask you, Tyrone, who did we hire? The Procrastination Building Company?
See, I'm not going there with you, Mike, because I honestly don't know who.
I look back there, there's one cubicle dismantled. What, are they coming back next week to do another one?
Now,
I heard they were going to come through the wall with a wrecking ball.
See, really? That's what I expected.
When's the wrecking ball coming? And exactly. We've been told about this renovation for like 7 months now.
Well, they're working. They're down the hall. Have you seen down the hall?
I haven't.
You haven't looked?
I don't work down the hall. I work here.
Yeah, I never looked down the hall.
All right, if you get off at the middle elevators and you walk down the hall to our offices, on the left-hand side, you could see where they've been working diligently.
How's it look?
It looks lovely. It's still all apart. There's wires and stuff everywhere.
Inside the building, I don't see anything going on. Inside our offices where we used to have our cubicles, we were moved to the other side. I'm thinking, man, they're going to have dismantle everything here.
It's coming. I'm telling you, if you walk down the hall and look and poke your head into the one room, you can see what they've been working on.
But they're supposed to come through that wall, like you said. So when we get back from Clearwater, are they going to be through that wall? Because otherwise, we should be moving back to, or we could have stayed in our old spot for several more weeks.
They hired terrapins or something to rebuild this thing? Come on, man.
One room at a time.
One cubicle. This intake has been dismantled. That's it.
That's all?
Yeah.
What, my old cube?
Yours is still there. The one that was over beyond you. That's the only one. The walls are down.
The old promo cube.
All right, that's knock off for today. we did the one cubicle. It just pulled apart. All right, that's enough.
That's lunch.
Go get lunch. All right, let's get back to the phones. Bilal in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bilal.
Yo, Mike, thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, Bilal? Really, how you doing?
I'm trying real hard. But let me ask you a question, Mike. And what's up, Tyrone, Natalie? How y'all doing? Y'all looking good on TV? Ty, I got a bone to pick with you, too. But, Mike, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Now, with the Sixers, right?
Yep.
The coaches, in any sport, the coach's job is to motivate the player to put him in the best position to win, right or wrong?
Yeah, right.
The Sixers are leading the league in points per quarter in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Then they drop down to like 14, 15 in the third quarter after halftime. What type of speech is he giving these guys?
But they're still like the substituting. It's not like they're playing. They're starting five.
That's the problem that I have. That right there. Everybody is giving Brett Brown a pass on everything he do. Every time it's a mistake,
Every time they lose, he gets crushed. What are you talking about?
Listen, hold up. Sam Mitchell got fired, coach of the year. Don Casey got fired, coach of the year. How long we got to put up with this? Bilal,
listen to me. You know they're not going to. Why are you suggesting they change now when you know they're not?
But why won't they, though? Tell me.
There are 20-some games left. You don't bring a new coach in now.
And even if they don't. Listen, they're not going to get past the first round. I don't care who they play. If they play Orlando, I'm going to call you.
Well, I tell you what. You better go get break open your safe and take out some green money and lay it on a table, and I'll match whatever green money you put down that they win the first round.
This guy's not going to get them around past the first round. And that's why on the outsider's side, you don't never answer my tweets because you know I chew him up. Every time, because he deserves to be chewed up. Brett Brown deserves to be chewed up.
Do you have anything to say when they beat OKC?
Do I have what?
Anything to say? They beat OKC without Embiid. Do you have anything to say?
Yeah, okay, yeah, good game. But it wasn't Brett Brown, it was the team.
It's never Brett Brown.
See?
So when they win, it's not Brett Brown. But when they lose, it's Brett Brown.
And that's why I don't read his tweets on Outsiders. I can't read a guy after every game he tweets in, fire Brett Brown.
Yeah.
After every win, it's everybody else but Brett Brown.
Brett Brown's not going to get fired, right? He should coach for the rest of the year. Live with it.
Former coworker of yours.
Well, who?
I don't want to say his name because I'm not going to give him any shine.
Right.
You didn't like him when he worked here. Former coworker of yours was trolling me after the game, saying because I said don't fire him after they lost to the Warriors.
Former producer?
No.
Former coworker.
Yeah, hired. I'm not gonna say his name, but higher than that. But AK sent a bunch of tweets trying to get a little shine on TV, hoping I would read it.
Yeah,
wouldn't read it. But it's over and over again saying fire him after the Warriors game.
Yeah,
I said his judgment day will come in the playoffs, and if he doesn't do it in the playoffs, fire. But after a Warriors lost by three, your best player, I'm not gonna say fire coach.
It's silly to think the Sixers are gonna fire Brett Brown. So live with it, and then we'll refigure it at the end of the year. if they don't get out of the second round, you know the tone from this show, at least with me, is going to be that it's time to move on. And if he doesn't win the East, I may have that same opinion, depending on how that final series goes in Milwaukee. Bob in Levittown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hi, Mike. Enjoyed the Bow interview, but I'm calling about the 76ers and the fact that Brett Brown can't coach basketball.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so this team is stacked. Everyone knows that. So guys like you and me can coach this team to 50 wins.
Incorrect.
Well, guys like me could coach.
No, incorrect.
All right, so let me tell you why Brett Brown can't coach from a technical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big time 76ers fan, and I hope they win in the playoffs. But I too think they will lose in the second round, whether they play Toronto, Boston, Indiana, whoever, because Brett Brown can't coach. But to wit, last year, go back to last year against Boston. T.J. McConnell was shutting down Rozier and Smart. And what does Brown do? He puts Redick in, and they lose the series. Now,
when was T.J. McConnell stopping anybody? Seriously.
He was shutting down
Smart. Are you kidding me?
Rozier.
Come on, dude. He wasn't shutting down anybody.
They were winning the games and very, very competitive and ahead when McConnell was in the game, and he took them out. He put Redick in, and Redick, we all know, is not a good defensive player, and they lost.
You'd rather have T.J. McConnell on the floor than J.J. Redick.
In that instance.
Come on, man.
In that circumstance.
Seriously. You're killing me.
All right. Here's exhibit two.
Huh?
Ben Simmons came out of college. Everyone knew he couldn't shoot, and he was a poor free throw shooter. So the guy sits here with a Jones injury, and a JV coach could have taught that guy how to put proper backspin rotation, proper arc, and keep his elbow tucked in on a free throw. Except Brett Brown can't do it. Exhibit three. We have 76ers winning multiple games this year with 15, 20, 25-point leads. So a coach that knows a player needs to work on something would tell Simmons, just go out there and fire some up, pop some.
Do you not think that they tell Ben Simmons to shoot the ball? What do you think they're telling him, hey, Ben, don't shoot it?
He's
not doing it because it's his own brain that's not doing it, not the coaching staff.
He did it against the Lakers to show off for either Magic or his girlfriend, either one.
Yeah.
That's a pretty natural.
Bob, you're a miserable fan, and your viewpoint, I get it, but you're wrong on all counts. You're making it like it's CYO, like a coach can influence a pro player on how to shoot a basketball. Don't you think they work on that day in and day out? Come on, man. All right, we'll get back to some Philly talk. Corey Simon joining us in 5 minutes from NBC Sports Philadelphia. He's got some scoops. We're back after this, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.